Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hello and welcome to Minted Dialogue, episode number 173. This interview is with Matt Anderson, HR Strategy Manager at Jaguar Land Rover. After speaking at the HR Tech World 2015 conference, I caught up with Matt to discuss how Jaguar Land Rover approaches innovation from an HR perspective, the impact of disruption, challenges of recruitment for luxury automotive, and how HR can help impact change within the organization. Welcome to the Minted Dialogue podcast, where we discuss brand marketing with a focus on all things digital. I am Minted Dial, your host and author of The Mindset. That's MYNDSET.com, where branding gets personal. You'll find the show notes to the blog for the upcoming interview. Let's cut to the quick and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Minted Dialogue. Today I am at HR TechWorld and I have with me Matt Anderson, who was a speaker here at HR Tech World 2015. So Matt, you work at Jaguar Land Rover, beautiful brands. Tell us what you do at Jaguar Land Rover and what's your mindset?
So my role is HR Strategy Manager. And what that means is I primarily prepare our people strategy for our business and develop that in conjunction with my HR colleagues. But it also means that I look for ways to bring that to life and to put that strategy in practice, really so that we can start to get some meaningful results from that strategic work. I also will look at trends and developments and explore what's happening outside of our industry, within our industry, to see what may be of relevance to us. What can we learn? What can we disrupt? That kind of activity.
All right, so before we get into that, what's your mindset? How would you describe your mindset, Matt?
I have nothing frightens me, so I love to get involved in especially things that I don't understand. So my mindset would be, you know, give anything a go, try, you know, you can do anything. I often find that I can't, but it's all a case of, you know, picking yourself back up and giving it a go.
Giving it a go. All right, so Matt, for Jaguar Land Rover, what kinds of industries do you look at outside of the industry in order to get inspiration? Give us an idea of that.
So currently, a lot of the interesting developments are happening, things like the mobile technology industries and the social technology industries, so things like LinkedIn and Google. So we learn a lot just by observing those companies, because at the end of the day, we're all technology producers in one way or another, and we're all dealing with some of the same challenges, the same customer developments, the same social demographic changes, those kind of things. So they're quite rich areas for us to look at.
Jaguar and Land Rover both are more upscale brands. They've been through a lot of transitions. Tell us a little bit about the current state of the business for Jaguar Land Rover, just to give us an idea of the landscape.
Well, since 2008, we've been enjoying a lot of success, so particularly in places like China and Brazil and India. So we're in a significant growth phase. In the past 5 years, we've doubled in size, our number of employees and our volumes. It's a really exciting time for us at the moment, and we're all working on things that we've never worked on before, and that includes myself.
You guys are upscale, obviously more premium type of business. So when you're recruiting, how does that play in the types of profiles you're looking for relative to your strategy?
I think one of the key elements of an upscale automotive manufacturer is a focus on quality and customer, and really being able to put yourself in the the seat of a customer. And I think that's something that can be difficult in large organisations, and it can be difficult in automotive. But those are some of the key traits that we would look for, so that people really understand that the work they do contributes to what can be a major purchasing decision for a customer.
Mm-hmm. All right, so in your job as strategy HR manager, tell us some of the key challenges you have at Jaguar Land Rover.
For me, some of the challenges are that our organisation is built on heritage and tradition and processes that have worked for a long time and have been very effective. I think I find that the challenges that I experience are where some of those traditions and paradigms are challenged. So if we need to work in a different way and there's a people impact as a result of that change in working, that can be very difficult for us. So it's really how do you take a working model and disrupt it in a way that means we can still deliver, we can still grow, and we don't impact on quality.
All right, so I'm thinking about the C-suite, Jaguar Land Rover. To what extent are they in tune with that thought? Because maybe they're part of the legacy as well.
I think that's a good question. I think the C-suite, our executives are aware of some of the challenges that we're facing. It's no secret that Apple and Google are looking at moving into the automotive industry. I think quite how we go about bringing that to, how delivering that in practice, I think is a challenge that they'll share. But they're absolutely aware of it because they're some of the biggest threats that we're going to face probably ever.
Right. And then there are also there's the competition itself is changing.
Yes.
But even the consumers are changing, and then the nature of a car is changing in terms of fossil fuels. You've got all these different types of technologies that are coming in. And so how does that change the profiles of people you're recruiting?
Good question again. We need people from far greater sectors than we've ever recruited from before. Mm-hmm. The automotive industry would typically bring people in from similar backgrounds with automotive experience.
Right. Engineers,
yes.
People who've got experience in automotive.
Yeah.
These are the people we kind of like to have.
Yes.
But you're looking for different profiles.
Yes. So, for example, if we're working on new technologies around fuels, then we're going to need skills that don't exist within the automotive sector because they're new. We need people who understand some of the infrastructural changes and some of the demographic shifts that are actually going to drive the eventual decision as to whether or not people buy a car or whether or not they live in an integrated city where no one needs a car, or buy a phone or whatever it is. We need people from those types of industries just as much as from the automotive. Having said that, there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, a lot of passion within the automotive industry, mm-hmm. and it's really important that we don't dilute that.
Yeah, well, and it's for sure you've got beautiful brands with a lot of legacy and heritage, and so I can just imagine how people, you know, loved. I mean, I'm a personal fan of Jaguar. Who isn't? But that surely attracts people. So, Matt, at today's conference, you were speaking about your role in impacting and bringing about change with regard to innovation. Give us some of the highlights of what you talked about today.
The central point I was making was that as an HR person, we have an amazing opportunity to make a difference within organisations like Jaguar Land Rover. So we have access to influence multiple parts of that business. My presentation was around how, as a one person in an organisation of 40,000, what are the ways that you can start to do that actually work? I've been to a lot of presentations around the concept of innovation, and that's brilliant, but actually when you take it back to the workplace, sometimes it falls on deaf ears. It's a great word, it sounds fantastic, people think that they can easily implement it, but actually it's very hard in practice when what it means is you're tearing up something or you're having to give things up or behave in a completely different way. So I was looking at five or six dead simple examples that have worked for me and that hopefully others can benefit from too.
Well, give us one of them that you think is the most relevant for other people, like they could take with them as they're approaching their jobs. You know, the dealers were not all CEOs, and so obviously sometimes the buck stops the CEO, and or if the CEO doesn't subscribe to the idea, it won't go anywhere. But in your amongst your ideas, what would give us one of them that you think would be really useful for other people as well?
So primarily, I think it's pay attention to the small things. So in an organization where you may not have a lot of airtime for some of this activity, if you can pick something small that impacts, that you can make a beneficial impact and tell people about it, that'll give them an indication of what you can do if you change your way of working. So for example, I ran a rapid prototyping workshop with some of my colleagues, and we had to choose a process to use, and we picked the functional induction process primarily because it was small. So no one was questioning our spend. If we came up with some ideas, they were going to be better than whatever we did, it was going to be better than what we had previously, and actually it gave us that license to play. If you get make a small change, right, actually because people understand it and they can play with it, they can see it and it resonates, actually you can get a massive knock-on benefit from that. So primarily it's pay attention to the small stuff, and actually that also goes into how you conduct yourself. So you're not going to make a company more innovative if you're not able to demonstrate yourself some of those practices. It's just about getting out there and doing it.
Right. Well, so the big challenge for so many companies these days is trying to bring in innovation. You can have the alternative of buying a little startup. You have the alternative of doing a lab. And then should you have that offsite, allow them the total freedom to be creative and goofy in their space, or should you have that in the HQ, where all of a sudden policies and hours become very much more bureaucratic and maybe dominate the spirit of the lab? What you're saying is that as an individual, you can start creating innovative feelings even in the smaller steps. But for Jaguar Land Rover, do you guys have a different? I mean, are there attempts to try and scale the innovation? Because today, that's really, as you were saying before, with Google and Tesla and so on, so many types of competitors. Is there any scaled initiative to be more innovative within the organization?
I don't think you would find an organization that wouldn't want to be more innovative. I think that really it's about how you go about delivering that. And we certainly, I hear a lot of people that are looking to foster innovation within an area. Typically the solution is quite hard and quite formal. So it'll be things like your innovation processes. It'll be things like your reward and recognition approaches. It's textbook stuff. And I don't think it's hard to find suggestions as to formal ways in which you could do that. Where I think it comes unstuck is the behavioural elements that surround that, which I think is why HR have a critical role to play in this. And I think if we can, as a community of professionals, can start to demonstrate what that looks like in practice, it really helps people to connect those formal processes together and make a change. You do need them, so I'm not saying that you can do it completely from a blank slate, and you need processes to as a skeleton around which to structure some of this, mm-hmm. but it does not do it on its own.
Mm-hmm. Even though we're in an engineering world where there's so much planning going on and everything. So at this event, I don't know if you've had much time to go around, but what are any off the top of your mind, things that you've appreciated, things you've seen that have been surprising for you at HR Tech World?
I've not seen many exhibits because of some of my I've been speaking and rehearsing. I'm hoping to do a lot of that tomorrow. I can see there's a lot of stands that actually, even since last year, have taken their products forward. I'm keen to talk to IBM about the developments on Watson, because that's something I'm very interested in, how you move on from just normal analytics to something that's much more usable, because I think from an HR point of view, that's really the silver bullet, is that usability, and anything that I can take back or share would be great interest.
Well, make sure our friends from IBM hear that one. Thanks for coming on the show, Matt.
Thank you.
Thanks for having listened to this recording of the Minter Dialogue Show. You'll find the show notes on themindset.com. That's mindset with a Y, where you can also sign up for my weekly newsletter at /subscribe. If you like the show, please do rate it in iTunes. That really makes my day. Happy trails, and enjoy Josh Sachs's Painted Fingers.
Oh, fill me with all your colors, any different way to rid me of the gray and heal me with all your energy. you mention in your lack of self-security. Oh, I wouldn't care about the art form as long as you would feel warm, wrapped in canvas, hold me tightly. Slowly we would paint a lover's portrait with all your favorite shades, and we'd paint it with our fingers to show. So messy. The ridges in our palms make colors blend and look ugly in the end. But they're pretty in their own disgusting values. We'd hang our portraits in the hallways, make our house guests cringe. Oh, I wouldn't care about the art. With all your favorite shades, and we paint it with our fingers to show the world the way we feel. Oh, oh, the way I feel.
Hey friends, this is Jim Knight, former 21-year Hard Rock executive turned best-selling author and top 10 keynote speaker.
And I'm Brant Menswar, former frontman of Hollywood's most dangerous band turned top 10 motivational speaker and best-selling author.
We host the how-to podcast Thoughts That Rock, where we talk to rock stars, athletes, CEOs, astronauts, and even next-door neighbors who share their expertise and opinions. Together, we tackle the most interesting and challenging topics of today.
Whether you want to learn how to become more confident, how to deal with anxiety at work,
or how to write a hit song, or use Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in life,
we've got hundreds of episodes to help amp up your life and move you forward.
Subscribe to Thoughts That Rock wherever you listen to podcasts, and check out evergreenpodcast.com for more information.